Our scripture reading this evening is taken from Genesis chapter 22 and reading the first 19 verses. Genesis 22, reading the first 19 verses. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked. And there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing, and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, Jesus made a statement that I think is linked to the passage that we've read this evening. When he was talking with the leaders about Abraham, and that before Abraham was, Jesus was, I am. And they were confused as to what he was talking about. And they said, well, you're not old enough to know Abraham. What exactly are you talking about? When you say, before Abraham was, I am. And so Jesus made a statement in which he says that Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it and was glad. And this cryptic statement, designed to conceal for some and reveal to others important truths of redemption. Jesus spoke of the necessity to eat his flesh and drink his blood. If the people inquired, they would understand salvation. But if they rejected it, they would forfeit the gospel. And so many did. The Jews mocked him. Since, in the context of Abraham, since he was not even 50 and thus could no way have seen Abraham, as others had mocked him on his insistence about that we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. They took up stones to throw at him and thus missed and rejected the opportunity to understand the true meaning and message. Why didn't they just ask the Lord Jesus Christ what he meant? Why didn't they just ask him to explain it for them? As we continue to look upon our reflections of Easter, this statement wonderfully helps us to understand some of the important elements of this season and brings a personal and an experiential perspective. Last Sunday evening, we looked at the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ in Gethsemane and the interaction between the Son and his Father in the light of what was coming. The light of the cross, the light of him laying down his life and bearing in his body the wrath that came down from God his Father for our sins. And we saw that tender interaction of the Son asking his Father that if it were possible, let this cup pass from me. Well, this evening we look at this passage in Genesis 22, which really brings out this whole aspect of the Father and his anguish, the Father's emotions. Because it's not only the Lord Jesus Christ coming into the world and laying down his life, but also it is God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's also that the Father did not spare his only Son, but gave him up. And that dynamic between God the Father and his Son is wonderfully played out in this passage as God calls Abraham to do something similar, but one that was not going to be actually carried out. But nevertheless, as you can well imagine, the thoughts and the emotions that Abraham went through from the time that God asked him to sacrifice his son to the point where he was going to plunge that dagger into Isaac, all the emotions and the pain and the suffering were as real if he had actually gone through and plunged that knife. They were the same. The thought that we have a terminal disease and we're going to die, whether it lasts for a couple of days and we find out it was a false alarm, doesn't take away from the reality of that experience. And so, Abraham did rejoice to see. Maybe that is the connection between what Jesus says about Abraham and whatever Abraham experienced in Genesis 22. Through that experience, Abraham saw Christ's day and was glad because he understood what God was going to do for his people. So certainly, the day that Christ is speaking of certainly is a day that Christ was given by his father. The wrath of God like that knife was plunged. There was no 11th hour reprieve. There was no animal caught in the thicket. So God did follow through. And Abraham here in this passage got an inkling. And through Abraham, I hope that we can have an inkling of what God did for us, both the Father and the Son. The magnitude of God's love is so wonderfully portrayed. Note that Abraham was directed to the land of Moriah and one of the mountains. This is where the temple was located. In other words, Abraham's experience was in the same area as God's son, as he was going to experience this day. And we have the major elements here in this passage, namely the sacrifice of a son to death and the resurrection and the Father's giving of his beloved son. If only the Jews had inquired into the meaning, they could have heard and understood that they mocked and attacked it and thus failed to see Christ's day, even though it dawned on them. Let's look at this passage through Abraham and see and rejoice in Christ's day. First of all, he saw Christ's day through death, and that at the hands of a father. God tested Abraham by asking him to take his only son, whom he loved, and to offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains in the land of Moriah. At times we are called into testing that is not pleasant, and we wonder what the point is. For Abraham, this was the way that he was led to seeing the glorious day of Christ and God's wonderful gift to us in his Son. Though it was painful for Abraham, it was well worth it. He could see in a very tangible and experiential way what God was going to do for us. And God stresses to Abraham that Isaac was his son, not Ishmael. But Isaac was the son of promise. It was his son and the son of his wife, Sarah. He was his only son. And it was a son that he loved. And God is impressing upon Abraham for us to understand as well. God gave his only begotten and beloved son, in whom he was pleased. God gave everything. We can't stress enough that God gave everything for us. Just imagine, as Abraham did experience, your own son being given by you willingly to death. I mean, what emotions rise in us? What more could anyone ask than that? God the Father led his son to the cross, to Calvary, and there offered him up as all. Isaac asked about the sacrifice since they did not have an animal. Jesus prayed. In a similar way that they kind of relate to one another. Jesus praying that if possible, let this cup pass from me. And Isaac saying to Abraham, Father, you know, we have the fire, we have the wood, but where's the sacrifice? Where's the sacrifice? I must have broken Abraham's heart when Isaac asked. Then he could understand in a small measure the Father's silence at Jesus' prayer. Abraham left the servants behind as he and Isaac went alone to the place of sacrifice. At Calvary, there was a transaction between the Father and the Son. The Father pouring out all of His wrath against our sins, and His Son willingly bearing it on our behalf. As I say, in a small way, we can experience the day of Christ when we give up things that we love for the sake of others or for God. We then have an inkling, a very small inkling, of what the Father experienced when He gave His only begotten Son. It's so easy to read those verses. God gave His only begotten Son. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Or God did not spare His only begotten Son. So easy to read those words, but not so easy to actually do Him. Or of a willing Son. Death at the hands of the Father, of a willing Son. If Abraham experienced the Father's sacrifice, then Isaac served to illustrate the suffering servant who gave himself willingly. It is true that at the beginning of the journey, Isaac did not know what the sacrifice was. Perhaps he thought that they would capture an animal on the way. But he inquired as they got close. When the servants were left behind, Isaac asked, "My father, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham didn't reveal the identity of the sacrifice. He didn't say, "Son, it's you." However, it became clear when Abraham built an altar, placed the wood on it, then bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. It was clear to Isaac what was happening. It was clear to Isaac that he was a sacrifice. And that's why he was on the wood. And that's why his hands were tied. Perhaps because in our human emotions, we would fight that. And so Abraham binds his son. And his son could have fought back. He could have resisted. He could have said, "Father, what are you doing? This is not right. This can't be true. This doesn't make sense." But his father, he gave himself to his father. And there he was, laying on that wood. And after this, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. As I said, you would think that Isaac would have jumped off, would have rolled around, tried to escape, resisted with everything that he had. However, we find that Isaac didn't do anything of the sort. There is no word in the passage that gives us any idea that Isaac resisted Abraham. "If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, but thy will be done." And here in Isaac, that is seen. The Lord Jesus embraced the role of the Lamb of God. He was not forced. No one took his life from him. He laid down his life willingly. Abraham saw the delightful day of our Lord as he gave himself a ransom for many. The Lamb of God. But it was, yes, death by the Father of a willing Son. But in this case, it was through a figurative death. Abraham saw the day of Christ in the death of Isaac. You might respond and say that Isaac didn't actually die. That is true. But for Abraham, Isaac did die as he made his way with Isaac to the place of sacrifice. We're told in Hebrews, and also in verse 19 here, we're told that Abraham offered up his only begotten son, and later that he received Isaac back from the dead. Hebrews speaks about that in terms of that Abraham not only saw the day of Christ in terms of death, but also the resurrection. Because he did figuratively kill his son. And he did receive his son back from the dead. How did he reason when he was going through this experience? When everything was so dark and confusing? How did Abraham reason? He reasoned this way. That God was able to raise his son from the dead. And therefore he wouldn't hold back. And he wouldn't deny what God had asked him to do. When you're told that you are going to die and the doctors cannot do anything, do you not begin to feel death in a real way? When later we're told that miraculously we've been healed and will not die, do we not in a way experience resurrection? In Abraham's mind, he had given his son Isaac as a sacrifice. And Isaac had given himself a ransom. Of course, God did not do it in a figurative way, but rather in reality. However, Abraham was able through this experience to see and appreciate and to feel the day of Christ. Of course, we know that the reality was much more glorious than Abraham's experience. But Abraham experienced it personally and thus rejoiced, having understood the meaning of these events. How much we must rejoice in the day of Christ. This passage also speaks about a substitute, an animal substitute. Abraham experienced the painful emotions of giving his son as a sacrifice. He also came to see and experience the substitutionary atonement. Abraham was about to plunge the knife into Isaac and offer him up as a sacrifice, but it was the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and commanded him not to harm the lad. It is noteworthy that the angel of the Lord is none other than God himself. For he says, "You have not withheld your only son from me." The Lord provided a ram that was caught in the thicket, and Abraham sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. What joy and relief this brought to Abraham. How their journey back home was dramatically different than the journey to Mount Moriah. No doubt for Abraham and Isaac, it was a moving and a humbling experience. And in it, they caught a glimpse of the day of Christ. Christ repeated that day, many centuries after Abraham's time. And the Jews went through the same procedure for hundreds of years by using animal sacrifices, not their sons, but lambs. And they brought those lambs to be killed and by their blood for them to have cleansing from their sins. And so they were able to see the day of Christ. And that's what John the Baptist says. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Abraham named the place as a reminder. The Lord will provide. What an apt description of Calvary is this. The Lord will provide. How insightful was this prophetic word. People of God, have you come to understand that Calvary was and is for every believer the place where God has provided an atonement? Instead of you being on that wood, instead of the knife being plunged into your body and the wrath of God coming down upon it, there's a reprieve. But it's not a ram caught in the thicket. Couldn't get away. No, for us it was Christ. Unbound. Willingly. Taking your place. So that we could go free. But it was the seed of Abraham. Not an animal, but a seed of Abraham. God went on to make promises to Abraham. In fact, God took an oath to bless Abraham and his descendants. But even more, through his seed, the nations of the world would be blessed. Not plural. He's not saying through the Jews, the nations of the world would be blessed. No, through a single seed, which Galatians makes clear is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. God had spared Abraham's seed, namely Isaac, but God promised to bless Abraham further through another seed. Paul interprets this, as I've said, reference to the seed in Galatians 3, verse 16. Further, this blessing had to do with Lord Jesus becoming the Lamb of God that would suffer our curse so that we could be reconciled to God. Abraham's given to see that God would provide his own beloved son as a sacrifice for sins on behalf of God's covenant people, of which Abraham was the father. No wonder Abraham rejoiced to see Jesus' day. And when he saw it in this experience, he was glad. Your joy should be the same as Abraham and Isaac as they went home alive. As we will come to Calvary, we will return to our homes, rejoicing and glorifying God. And finally, in this passage, we have a seeing of the resurrection. Resurrection of Isaac. Abraham was also granted the experience of the resurrection. One might wonder, how can you have a resurrection when there is no death? Isaac did not die. So how can we have a resurrection? But as I mentioned earlier, the scriptures clearly teach that in a figurative sense, there was a death. Hebrews commends the faith of Abraham on the basis that he offered up Isaac, his only begotten son, in Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 18. In the heart of Abraham, Isaac was dead. For 3 days, he was dead as they made their journey to that mount that God would bring them to. On the third day, Abraham received his son back from the grave. Abraham came to see through Isaac the resurrection of the one whom the Lord would provide as a sacrifice. Of course, we have this truth portrayed in the sacrifices of Moses. We have it displayed in the scapegoat, which was the one that was set free while the other was sacrificed. We have it portrayed in human terms as sinners walk away forgiven, that the Lamb was sacrificed for our sins. And of course, the reality, seeing Christ's day, is Christ's resurrection. Of course, we know that Isaac did not literally die, but then there would be no purpose to saying figuratively. However, Abraham saw in Isaac's experience what Christ's day would bring. God's son, Jesus, did actually and really experience death. In fact, he was dead for 3 days. On the third day, he arose victorious. What joy there is in heaven in the hearts of all for whom Christ died. We might say what joy in the hearts of those who, like Abraham, offered up a son for a sin offering, but not ours, but the one God provided. Of course, for us, it is impossible to conceive of a resurrection. How can a dead person come to life again? But Abraham did not shrink in the face of such dilemma. Abraham reasoned by faith. He reasoned that God, who created us from nothing, was able to raise Isaac from the dead. The world may mock and reject the notion of the resurrection, but to those with faith, it is a glorious reality. As Jerusalem was filled with those that feared and guarded the resurrection, believers were filled with joy, and many received the resurrected Lord, and many saints who had been resurrected with Jesus. Abraham rejoiced to see Christ's day and resurrection, and saw it and experienced it and was glad. And finally, we have the Christian's final resurrection. In the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, our sacrifice, we see our own resurrection. People may find this impossible to believe. They might have all kinds of objections, like the Corinthians did. However, remember that Abraham, by faith, reasoned that God was able to raise the dead. Now, let us not doubt the power of God, but rather, like Abraham, embrace the promises that God makes to believers in the resurrection of Christ. One day, all the dead in Christ will arise to joy and newness of eternal life. Though we leave this place of atonement with eternal joy and hope deeply rooted in our hearts and minds. Abraham went on to walk with the Lord and serve Him with gratitude and joy. Let us carry on our pilgrim journey with peace and joy and hope of eternal life, for we have seen Christ's day, and it makes us glad. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we are just overwhelmed by the extent of your love to us. We cannot fathom it. We cannot understand it. We can't reason it out, because we are such stubborn and sinful people, not worthy of your love. And yet you have lavished your love upon us in a way that we could never have imagined in a million years. It has never entered the mind of man that you would go to such lengths. Just as it would not enter into the mind of people for a believer like Abraham to be willing to sacrifice himself. Now, Father, that shows what a great and wonderful God you are, and how trustworthy that even when you called Abraham to do this amazing thing, you obeyed immediately. Now, Father in heaven, what joy comes into our hearts and amazement when over the centuries later we see that you did exactly that for us. And so, Father, we pray that we might truly appreciate these events as the Lord Jesus Christ moves and makes his way to the cross. Now, Father in heaven, we pray that we might love him more and love you more, that we might devote ourselves and sacrifice ourselves on the altar because you have sacrificed all for us. Now, Father, hear our prayers and bless us as we go forth, for we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and let us sing from the blue hymnal number 450, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee.